Reading to you from the 22nd chapter of Luke in the 35th verse. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Oh, friends, I had a wonderful time yesterday. I've been taking treatments, you know, my cancer treatments, alternatives. And this woman told me about a man that had an alcoholic problem. He's a businessman. He had several men working for him. And I said, "I'd like to talk to him." She said, "You'd be willing to talk to him?" He came down to my house yesterday. And my wife and I had the privilege of introducing that man to Christ. I tell you, he cried. He wept. He was religious, but he was lost. Oh, friends, there's a lot of people like that in the world today. Well, anyway, keep praying for me. I'm taking those alternative medicine treatments for my cancer. And I want you to just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and the 31st verse. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." I've labeled this message Peter's Path to Power. Now you recall that Peter denied the Lord, and we understand ourselves better when we understand Peter. Let me tell you, we can all identify with his failures and his successes. I want you to know, dear friends, since I've been a Christian, I've made a lot of mistakes. Oh yes, I have. And it breaks my heart, and I have failed the Lord, and many times, yes, I've sinned. Not a gross sin, but there was sin, and I've had to go to him, and I've had to confess it, and I've asked him to forgive us. Forgive me. Now, friends, let me tell you what. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect on this earth. And you will sin as a Christian. Not willfully, but you will sin. And the only thing to get rid of is to go to him, to him personally, and say, "Lord, I did this or I did that, and Lord, forgive me." Friends, did you know that he will do it? How many times? Oh, my stars, as many times as you call upon him. God does not lie. There's going to be coming tough times for the disciples, and I read in verse 15, "And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Excuse me. This medication I take causes me to have phlegm. Jesus had told them of his coming suffering. Jesus, it's going to happen to me. He told them, he had just revealed his betrayal by one of them in verse 21. "But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table." Boy, I'm telling you, dear friends, I'll bet they said, "Whoa, was it me?" Well, he had told Peter that he would be attacked by Satan. Remember, Simon, Simon, Satan is asked to sift you as wheat. What do you think is happening today? Listen, friends, the devil is on the prowl today. You say, well, I know, boy, I'm going through a lot of things. Well, so am I. A dear friend of mine I've known for many years, a wonderful witness, has a good testimony, converted alcoholic. He's losing his home. He's three payments behind, and his work is cut right in half. I know so many Christians that are going through the trial of their faith. Now, friends, what am I supposed to do? Say, well, forget it. No, I'm saying lean on the Lord. Trust him. Obey him. And I'm telling you, if you read in the Psalms, it will give you perfect instructions how to cope during these troubled times. You remember what Peter said? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, it's hard to believe that Christ would die for people like us. It is amazing, amazing grace that Christ would die for wicked, godless, miserable sinners like us. You say, I'm not a real sinner? Well, boy, you better check up, because the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you a little bit about this Kevin fellow who was saved in my home yesterday. He has a master's degree in education. He's very intelligent, and it got in his way. He started going to a Unity Church here, which is absolutely nothing, and he was a German Lutheran, and nothing against the German Lutherans, but they're not really evangelistic, and he thought by going to catechism that he was going and got baptized, that he was all right. Well, friends, there's nowhere in the Bible does it tell you that baptism will get you into heaven. It won't do it. Or belonging to a church. Or making a certain creed. Don't mean a thing. What changed this denying disciple into a dynamic Christian? And I read in 31st verse again. Simon, Simon, Satan is asked to sift you as wheat. Now, the Lord was concerned for Peter when he was tempted. Now, beloved, let me tell you this, and I hope you listen to this. You say, Cecil, I've been tempted to divorce my wife. I have been tempted to be unfaithful to my wife or my husband, and all this and that. Listen, friends, it is no sin to be tempted, only after you yield. So remember that when you're tempted, you lean on the Lord. Tell him you're tempted. Tell him you're weak. You know, on this diet that they've got me on, it's been pretty tough. And I was doing real, real, real good. I went from, I went 22 or 23 pounds. And then I come to a plateau. I can't lose an inch. Can't lose a pound. But you know what? My clothes are all fitting me now. So, but it's no sin to be tempted. Just go ahead and believe the Lord. He knows what he's talking about. Well, Satan hath desired to have thee in verse 30, so that you may eat and drink of my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I have prayed for thee, that thou faith fail not. Satan desires to defeat all believers. Oh, my friends, I told you before, the Christians are going through a lot. The churches are failing daily. Our leaders are no longer standing against sin. They've taken our song books with the most powerful songs in the world out and put guitars and drums and banjos in there. And they're singing these little ditties that have no rhyme nor reason. And they call that worship. You see on television them jumping up and down. You see women in long dresses and dancing out there on the stage. That's not worship. Oh, my dear friends, Jesus is still praying for his tempted ones which means you, which means me. He's concerned about what we're facing. But remember what he faced. Remember out there in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he was praying, sweat of blood. Guess what happened? All of his disciples had been asleep. Every one of them had slept. And he asked them, can't you just come and stay awake a little while? But they slept on. Friends, Jesus went through something that you and I can't even believe, but he did. The suffering that he faced on the cross at Calvary for you and for me. He did it, why? Because he loves us. You say, Cecil, oh, I wished you could know what I'm going through today or tonight. God knows about it. He cares. What did Peter say? Casting all your care upon him for what? He careth for you. You're not going through this alone, my dear friends. Lots of us are going through it. Well, what do we do? To throw up our hands and quit? Go back into the world? No, I don't think so. That's not the answer. Satan desires to defeat all believers, and Jesus is still praying for each one of us. And remember, it said in John 17:20, my prayers are not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Now, he knows what we're going through. Jesus prayed for us in Gethsemane. He interceded for us now, right now in heaven. Oh, listen to this scripture. Underline this. Put it right in your book and read it again. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. He's not dead. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us right now. And you know what? The wonderful thing is, the day he saved us, he cast our sins in a sea of forgetfulness, never be remembered again, as far as the east from the west, and they never remember those sins again, ever, ever, ever. So sometimes you might be praying, and all of a sudden, a sin that you committed a long time ago pops up in your mind, and you just get horrified. Listen, that's under the blood. That's gone. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. God can't remember him. He said he wouldn't. Well, Peter lost his battle with temptation, but his faith didn't fail. Now, Jesus commissioned him to strengthen the others after his crises. Now, let's go back to Kevin yesterday. When he came in my house, I took a look at him. My heart just went out to him. And I began to tell him what Jesus did for me. And I could see his eyes just, he was wondering, is this guy telling me the truth? And I show you how God works. My wife came in the room and she said, Kevin, you know, I believed like you did. I did not believe I was a sinner. I went to Sunday school and church. I didn't, and I got baptized, and I went through catechism. But she said, I was lost. And then I said, Kevin, listen, since I can remember, I'm at least 4 years old, I remember praying. Now, I've always believed in my head that there was a God. As far back as I can remember, I believed there's a God. My mom and dad were Christians. His dad was a preacher. So he was raised in a Christian home. But you see, if you do not believe that you're a sinner, you can't be saved. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. That was his purpose of coming on this earth. But if you don't think you're a sinner, friend, you're in trouble. Now, my wife, you know what changed her life? Every time We'd go to church on Sunday after I accepted Christ. I'd ask the blessing at the table. I had that Bible in my hand. I read that Bible day and night. I called preachers. I called people to asking them questions. And she said, you know, Cecil left our home drunk out of his mind at 2 o'clock in the morning. He came home at 6:30 or 7 o'clock, cold sober, in his right mind, and he said, I'm a new man. He didn't understand it, but he said, I'm a new man. And she said, he's never cussed, used the Lord's name in vain, and he goes to church every Sunday, he reads his Bible, he prays. I knew that he had something that I didn't have. So one night we came home from church, and I went to bed. Oh, I could sleep. I used to have a six-pack and a pack of cigarettes by my bed to get through the night. And I went right to sleep, and she woke me up and said, Cease, listen to me. I didn't smoke. I didn't cuss. I didn't drink. I didn't do the things that you did. And all I said was, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I went back to sleep, and she said, you know what? I laid there, and I thought, wait a minute. I'm not confessing that I'm a sinner. And I am a sinner, just like my husband was a sinner as an alcoholic. And that night, she asked the Lord to forgive her and to come into her heart. The next day, I knew I had a new wife, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a change. Well, she didn't have to change like I did, because I was a terrible sinner. But anyway, it all worked together. Her and I worked together as a team to reach that alcoholic. Now, the precise time of the cock crowing when Peter failed, verse 60. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Jesus, just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Peter had told him that he would go with him any place, any time, giving up his life for him. And he even told Peter, you know what? You'll deny me, sure enough. And it says in verse 34, Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. Oh, friends, it was all prophesied. Well, hey, we have a good few good words for roosters, but let me tell you, he rises up early and goes about his God-given task. Listen, when I lived on a ranch, I did not like roosters. Why? Because they did wake me up in the morning. Oh, I hated to hear a rooster crow. But he was doing his God-given task. He does the work without any praise. He awakens sleepers, and he's a proclaimer of good news. He never gets bored with the same routine. Listen, God used this particular rooster to bring Jesus, to bring Peter to repentance. His timely crowing reminded Peter of his promise to Jesus. His crowing, can you believe I couldn't say the word? Also reminded Peter of the Lord's promise to him. Now listen, friends, listen. Verse 61 here. It says, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Friends, when you're under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, you know, I've said this a million, million times, you don't have to cry when you accept Jesus, but I wept like a baby. Oh, I wept like a baby. I knew I was the most miserable man in the world. I had failed my family. I was a disgrace to my family. My brothers disowned me. My sister didn't want no part of me. And I'm not blaming them at all. I was a disgrace to the Mo tribe. Well, listen. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Oh, that look must have tore Peter's heart out, because he went out and wept. With all that was happening to Jesus, he still cared for Peter. You know, friends, we can only speculate about that look, but it must have been something. Was it a look for rebuke, pity, or grief? What was the heart of Jesus communicating to Peter? That look broke Peter's heart and sent him out weeping. Oh, friends, listen to me. When the day came, the day of Pentecost came, the Lord wanted a preacher. Guess who he chose? Of course he chose Peter. The one who denied him three times. So don't that give you hope? Sure does me. He denied him three times, but when the time come for Peter to stand up for Jesus, he was the man. And 3,000 were saved one time, 5,000 another time. What a message! Peter had got it straight now, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Friend, if you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think there's a second working of grace. There's not. There's 1,000 works of grace. I can't count them all. Peter was down that denying day, but he was not out. The love of Christ would draw him back and give him hope. See, God met Peter where he was and made him what he ought to be. He wants to do the same for you and me, even if you have failed him. And I'm sure you have. Now I'm asking the Christian, first of all, what are you doing for Jesus today? You say, well, Cecil, I go to church and I read my Bible and I teach a Sunday school class. That's wonderful. That's commendable. But are you trying to reach out to help other people come to Christ? That's what we did yesterday. I've done that many, I don't know how many times people have came to my home. Not because it's me. No. They came here because they had a problem, alcohol. And they knew, God knew that Cecil had been delivered from the curse of alcohol. And I would tell them that it was Jesus, Jesus only, that saved my soul and delivered me from alcohol. You say, Cecil, I'm not an alcoholic. Well, I didn't say you were, but I want to ask you, do you know Jesus today? You know, I asked this young man, I said, if you were to die today, where would you go? He said, I'd go to heaven, I guess. I said, wait a minute, you said what? You guess? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever read in 1 John 5:13 where it said, this is written that you may know that you have passed in death and life? He said, no. He said, I've not been born again. I said, I know. But I said, you can be today. Do you feel it tugging at your heart? And he just broke down. Yeah, he said, I do. I said, well, let's kneel here. Let's settle it. Oh, friends, what a day of rejoicing. Oh, I'm so thankful. If it took colon cancer to bring this about, fine, so be it. Let me ask you, where do you stand today with Jesus? You say, Cecil, listen, I'm one of those Christians that is nominal. There is no such thing as a nominal Christian. But you say you're nominal. Would you like to ask the Lord to strengthen you? Bow your head with me right now. Father, for that brother, that sister in Christ that's struggling, maybe you're calling them to be a Sunday school teacher, maybe you're calling them to preach, whatever it might be, Lord, help them to surrender all the way, that you might use them like you used Peter. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know Jesus today, this is the reason you tuned in. Because God knows your losses. Loss can be. Are you sorry for your sins? Is your life been a bundle of mistakes and you can't understand it? All the education you have hasn't brought you through it? All the religion you have hasn't brought you through it? Then you come to Jesus. If you feel a little tugging at your heart right now, and would you bow your head with me right now? Don't pray this unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done to you and my family and my loved ones. Right now, Lord, I'm opening my heart and inviting you in Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. If you can't afford to call, call Collect. 303-471-8534. For the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Dear ones, would you please continue to pray for my healing and for this alternative cancer medicine and treatments I'm taking. I know people say, oh, I don't believe in that. Well, I know people that have been completely healed with this alternative medicine. Even the FDA approves the medicine now, so it's got to be pretty good, I guess. Anyway, and continue to pray God will give us souls for a higher. We'll be Sunday. We'll have two services with the men in prison, my quartet, my wife, and I. I'm so glad that God gave me a wife that loves the Lord, and we can work together as a team. Oh, listen, when God calls a man, he calls his wife, too. Well, friends, winter's coming. Let's get out there and get busy, because the Jesus that I know is coming back real soon. Until his time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. He's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.